to be, but he had left where he was. He started the journey, but he hadn't completed the journey. That's a sad place to be, isn't it? It's sad to know where you're supposed to be, but you're not there. Amen. You know what God is calling you to and what God wants from you, but you just haven't made the journey yet. That's a dry place. That's a thirsty place. That's a parched place. That's Haran. And the travesty is the Bible said that Terah, Abraham's father, died there. I don't want to die in a dry place. I don't want to die in a parched place. I don't want to die in the thirsty land. Amen. But I want to go where there's living water. Hallelujah. Amen. So Abraham continued on. And Lot continued on with him. There were some residual blessings that came into Lot's life because of Abraham. God blessed Abraham. And because God blessed Abraham and Lot was there, Lot was blessed also. Let me tell you something. It's good if you'll serve God. But if you don't serve God, you better be good to his people. If you decide you don't want to serve God, if you'll just be good to his people, some blessings are going to come your way. I didn't say salvation, but some things are going to come your way just because you were the people of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so Lot was one of those people that tagged along. It finally some things got into Lot's heart. Amen. The Bible tells us over in the New Testament, even though Lot made some bad decisions, you remember that Lot and Abraham got together. Abraham was a peacemaker. He didn't like scuffling. He didn't like arguing. He didn't like fighting. He didn't enjoy strife and agitation. Amen. I think that's a spirit Christians ought to have. Christians shouldn't want to agitate. Christians shouldn't want to stir things up. Christians ought to have a peacemaking spirit. Amen. Christians ought to get along spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so they were having some trouble. It wasn't necessarily Lot and Abraham, but their herdsmen were having problems. And so Abraham said to Lot, he said, let's separate here. He's getting closer to the altar. Hallelujah. He's getting closer to his altar. Let's separate here. And he says, you take one spot where you go, I'll go the other way. Now, what Lot should have done was say, now, Uncle Abraham, you know, I've been following you because God called you. You ought to have the first pick. I'm just blessed because I've been hanging with you. That's the only reason I've got what I've got. You just choose what you want, Uncle Abe. But he didn't do that. He had his eye on a spot. He'd been looking for some things. But he was like a lot of people. He couldn't see with faith. He only saw with his natural sight. The Bible said he'd been eyeing the well-watered plains of Jordan. Now the word Jordan means death. Scary thought, huh? What he thought was life was death. And that's the way life is. A lot of people think that what they think is really living is not living at all. It's existence until you draw your last breath. Amen. It's like the guy that died. He said, when I die, I want you to bury me in a red Cadillac convertible with the top back. He said, I want the fan blowing in my face and air conditioning, my hair combed back like it's been blowing by the wind. He said, I want that car to be the accelerator to be to the floor. I want to be sitting up in the seat with my hands on the steering wheel. He said, I want you to put a big old cigar in my mouth. I want the radio to be blaring. And that's what they did. And when everybody had said the words and walked away, one of the grave diggers looked at the other one and said, man, that's living. No, that's dying. He wasn't hearing a word of the music. He wasn't feeling the cool air conditioner, I promise you that. He was needing it, but he wasn't feeling it. Amen. He was wishing he could feel it. Amen. But he wasn't enjoying anything because death had come his way. So Lot looked at what he thought was life. But he couldn't see far enough down the road. Interesting thing, he says it reminded him of Egypt. That ought to have been enough. That should have been a warning. And so he moved down to the plains of Jordan, where there were two cities called Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible said he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He didn't go there, just pitched his tent that way. You see, your intentions are the predecessors of your actions. What you intend to do, your intentions need to be right, because that's what precedes your actions. You see, the first thing that he saw when he got up in the morning was Sodom. And the last thing that he saw before he went to sleep at night was Sodom. And the first thing, unfortunately, that his wife saw was Sodom. And the last thing that she saw at night was Sodom. And the first thing that his children saw in the morning was Sodom. And the last thing that his children saw at night was Sodom. Amen. Folks, you got to be careful which way you pitch your tent. Amen. And then in Genesis 19, we find out that he's smack dab in the center of Sodom. He's sitting at the gate. His family's so entrenched and so involved, even when God told him that he was going to destroy the cities, he couldn't get his family to leave. What a travesty. Hear me, folks. Hear me well. Amen. Hear me, parents. If you decide, well, you know, it's just tough, I think I'm going to take some time off. I'm just not going to come to church for a while. I'm just going to kind of drop out and rest and coast for a bit. You hear me today. You might make it back. You might or you might not. But you hear me today, your children may not make it back again. There's a whole lot of parents that make it back, but their kids don't. That's the travesty of taking your little sojourn in Sodom. You might make it, but your children may not. Amen. They don't have what you have. They didn't get what you got. Amen. I look at some of my own family. We have the privilege to grow up in a great Pentecostal home with a praying mother and a good father. Amen. But you know what? Some of their children didn't have that experience. Their children don't know what it's like to hear somebody travailing, talking in tongues in the middle of the night. Their children don't know what it's like to hear somebody singing in tongues. Their children don't know what it's like to be in service after service and until it just becomes a way of life. Amen. Be careful. Be careful about your sojourn. Amen. Don't pitch your tent in the wrong place. Amen. You don't need to pitch your tent towards Sodom. You need to set it right square, right in the middle of this church, and say, anything that's going on here, you got to contend with me. Hallelujah, because I'm going to be here. Amen. If Sunday morning, I'm going to be here, Pastor. Sunday night, I'm going to be here. Wednesday night, I'm going to be here. Special service, I'm going to be here. Revival time, I'm going to be here. Whatever's going on, I'm going to be here. Amen. Praise God. Well, that's so anyhow. Thank you, Brother Hart. Praise God. All right. Praise God. So he pitched his tent the wrong way. Amen. But what did Abraham do? Abraham didn't get upset. Abraham didn't say, well, you little ingrate. You've been riding on my coattails all this time. And you took the best looking land in the country and left me with all this desert out here. No, sir. The Bible said that he journeyed and he built an altar. Praise. Hallelujah. He went between shoulder and fellowship and built an altar. Amen. He had strength on the right hand and fellowship on the left hand, and that's where he built his altar. Right between fellowship and strength. One of the things you're going to find at an altar is fellowship with God. And another thing you're going to find at an altar is strength. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Everybody said, we need an altar. The first altar you need in your life is an altar of conversion. What do we mean by conversion? It means that you completely change. The Bible said, did it not, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, that's what happens in conversion. You become a new person. Everybody needs an altar of conversion in your life. Everybody needs a place of pardon in your life. Everybody needs a place where there's fellowship with God in your life. Everybody needs an altar where there's some strength in your life. A place you can go to when you're weak and you're weary and you need refreshing and you need strength. And God can give you again what you need from Him. Amen. Praise God. But even Abraham was learning. We call him today and know him as Great Abraham. But, you know, he had to learn just like you and I. He took a little journey down to Egypt. Now, I don't read where he built any altars in Egypt. Now, I don't know how much praying he did in Egypt. All I know, but one thing that I do know, when he got down in Egypt, he got in some trouble. He got to lie. You see, you get too far from the altar, you'll start doing some things you wouldn't normally do. You'll get cold and you'll get weak in your spirit. And this old flesh will start giving you fits. And you'll drift off into some behaviors that you really are not proud of. And you'll do some things that you wish you hadn't done. Amen. But he didn't stay in Egypt. He stayed until he got in trouble and had to leave. Kind of got kicked out of Egypt. You know what? If you're a real Christian, you can't enjoy this old world. And people will know you. Amen. We had a conference one year in New Orleans. And we got in a taxi going somewhere. And the guy looked at us and he said, "What in the world are you people doing here?" He knew we didn't fit in New Orleans. He could tell by looking we were not Mardi Gras people. And he said, "What in the world are you people doing here?" I said, "This place really needs us." Amen. This place really needs us. Amen. Praise God. And so he stayed in Egypt until he come home. And you know what he did? First thing he got home, he built an altar. Hallelujah. This time he built his altar between Bethel and Ai. You see, when you build an altar, and it's going to be an altar of consecration, an altar. And he built his altar there, and on one side was Bethel. Bethel is the house of God. What a beautiful word. Ai, on the other hand, means ruin. So he built his altar between the house of God and ruin. And that's where you need your altar, folks. Amen. Just remember that we're never too far away from ruin. The only thing that keeps us from going that direction is an altar. We built an altar of prayer in our life. A place that we meet God in our life. Prayer is what's going to keep us from making wrong decisions. Amen. I think we ought to pray about important decisions. I think we ought to pray before we make decisions. Amen. I've known some people to just make decisions without prayer. Amen. One guy said, "Honey, I'm going to be praying for the will of God. You go ahead and pack the bags." Amen. Amen. Yeah. One guy said he'd come before the board to get his license, and they said, "How do you know you're called to preach?" He got all excited. He said, "Man," he said, "I was out plowing the other day out in the field." And he said, "I looked up in the air and I saw these big letters and they said, GP. And he said, "That means go preach." And the board said, "How do you know it don't mean go plow?" You see, he hadn't done any praying. He just saw what he thought was a sign. Amen. Got all excited because he thought he saw a sign. Amen. Folks, we need to be sincere and sensitive to God. Pray about things in your life. Pray about the things in your life. Amen. God can save you from a lot of trouble. Amen. If you'll leave the options up to the Lord. I remember years ago, we were just so anxious to have a place of our own. We wanted a little house so bad. We were praying and we prayed, then we tried to go get a loan. We didn't get it. I'm so glad we didn't get it. interest was 20%. That was the Carter years. You remember that? 20% interest. I was young and stupid. Amen. Thought I had to have something. And I'm just glad God didn't answer that prayer. Amen. He was good to us. You see, if you'll leave the option up to the Lord, some people pray them and get upset because they don't get what they want. Well, sometimes you don't get what you want, but you get what you need. God gives you some things, and God takes some things from you and keeps you from some things. There are some things you and I, we don't need in our lives. And God can see down the road and see things that you can't see. And if you'll give him the option, he's always right. And he's always kind. And God always has your best at heart. Amen. We need an altar of prayer in our lives. We need a place that we can fellowship with God in our lives. Amen. A little girl was praying, and she finished her prayer by saying, "Goodbye, dear Lord. We're moving to New York. It's been nice knowing you. Amen." Amen. I guess you figured he wasn't going to be in New York. So she was saying, "Goodbye, Lord. Been nice knowing you." I've known some folks, they didn't pray that way, but that's how they lived their life. I'm going to go where I want to go. I'm going to do what I want to do. Amen. David said this, Psalm 139, verse 7, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." He's everywhere, folks. Amen. He can be there. Amen. You never have to tell him goodbye. Hallelujah. But you need an altar of prayer in your life. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then the Bible said in Genesis 13, verse 17 and 18, after he separated from Lot, the Lord said, "Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, the breadth of it, and I will give it to thee." Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. Amen. Praise God. There he built an altar unto the Lord. Amen. That was an altar of praise. You not only need an altar of conversion and an altar of prayer and communication, but you need an altar of praise in your life. Amen. You need a place where you can come and just tell God how good he is. Amen. Praise is natural and necessary. Yes, it is. You know, if you don't vocalize praise, I hear some folks say, "Well, you know, I'm just not that kind of person. I don't vocalize praise." Then you don't enjoy it much. I know folks that'll sit in front of a television set with a football game on. And boy, do they get involved. And you know what? They're enjoying it. They're enjoying it. They get vocal about it. Amen. Woo! Look at him. My, look at that run. Isn't that some? Did you see that catch? My, what a touchdown. Ha, 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 ha. And they get so excited. And then come to church and sit like a bump on a pickle. I sure do enjoy the presence of the Lord. How about them boys? How about Jesus? Amen. Anybody going excited about that? Anybody going to praise him? Anybody going to worship him? Amen. You see, what you really love, you get vocal about. You get excited about. You get emotional about. It calls for a response from you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So worship, you see, and praise, it's a natural thing. What you love, you praise. And it's a rehearsal of our eternal song. Hallelujah. The Bible said, come before his presence with singing. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, Brother Grissom, what if I can't sing? Then just hum a little bit. Oh, come on. Amen. Do something. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You might do like the Jews do. If they can't sing well, they just sing loud. Amen. On second thought. Amen. The psalmist said, for praise is comely for the upright. You know what that means? That means praise looks good on you. Amen. Amen. Sitting there like you've been eating dill pickles or sour pickles, you see. That doesn't look real comely. But praise looks comely for the saints of God. It looks good on everybody. Amen. It'll put a smile on your face. It'll help you relieve some wrinkles. Praise is comely for the upright. We need an altar of praise in our lives. David said, I will praise, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. Hallelujah. You can praise him in the morning. And you can praise him in the noontime. And you can praise him in the night. Amen. He said his praise will continually be in my mouth. Amen. We used to sing that old song, when you see me coming, I got him on my mind. When you hear me singing, I got him on my mind. I've got Jesus. I've got him on my mind. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise is comely for the upright. Peter said, show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. And Revelation 4 and 11 said, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. There was a little old lady, little old poverty stricken lady. Times were hard and she was very poor. But boy, she'd get to thinking about what the Lord had done. She'd get to thinking about how God saved her. And she couldn't help herself. She'd get vocal in a church that wasn't a vocal kind of church. And she'd get to thinking about the goodness of the Lord. And she'd say, "Woo! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!" And it disturbed her preacher. Amen. He couldn't handle that. We can handle it around here. But he, you know, it's the kind of place they didn't handle that very well. People got to saying, Pastor, you got to do something about that little old lady. He knew that she was having a hard time. And so he told her, he said, now, sister, we've got two really nice, thick, warm blankets we'll give you if you'll just be quiet. And she thought about how good those blankets would feel. And she said, all right, Pastor. And so she took those blankets home. And she was enjoying those blankets. And she'd come to church and she'd just sit there and just do her very best, not say anything. And then they had an evangelist come. And he got to preaching about the goodness of the Lord. And she leaped to her feet. And she said, blankets or no blankets, praise the Lord! Amen. That's the kind of spirit we need, folks. Blankets or no blankets, come what may, praise the Lord. Amen. In the good times, in the bad times, praise the Lord. When I have a lot and when I have nothing, praise the Lord. I've built an altar of praise in my life. Amen. Everybody needs an altar of praise in your life. Amen. Everybody needs an altar of consecration in your life. God called Abraham one more time. And he said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, as far as God was concerned, your only son. And he said, I want you to go to a place that I will tell you, and I want you to offer him to me. Amen. And so the Bible says, early the next morning, Abraham rose up and took his son Isaac, and they headed out. Until they got to a place called Moriah. And Abraham turns to his servants, and this is what he said. He said, abide you here, and I and the lad will go yonder, get this, and worship. How in the world can you call that worship, Abraham? How can you call that worship? That's what David said, wasn't it? When David went to the threshing floor, amen, and he said, I'm going to give this to you, David. You don't have to pay me anything. David said, how can I offer to my God or offer to my God that which costs me nothing? Amen. He said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to pay you more than it's worth. Because if I'm going to worship God, it ought to cost me something. Yes, sir. Amen. Praise God. You can give without worshiping, but you can't worship without giving. It's got to cost you something. I'm not just talking about your pocketbook. Amen. I'm talking about something much more important than that. Amen. It's got to cost you everything. You see, God kept asking until he got down to the thing that Abraham loved most. And he said, would you give that to me? And Abraham, without hesitation, packed up and loaded his son and loaded his beast of burden, and off they went. And he said, do you wait here? He said, the lad and I will go yonder and worship, get this, and we will come again. Hallelujah, you get that? He said, we're going to come again. Amen. I know what the Lord said. I don't know what's going to happen up there. I don't know if I'm going to have a resurrection on my hands. I don't know what's going to happen. I know I'm going to make an offering, but somehow God's already promised me that there's going to be a great lineage going to come from this son of mine. So I don't know how he's going to preserve his life. I don't know if he's going to let die and let him resurrect. I don't know what's going to happen, but one thing I do know is I'm going to worship God, and we're going to come back down this mountain together again. Amen. The book of Hebrews said it this way. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried. Everybody say tried. Tried. Amen. You know what? You ought to try God, because he's going to try you. He's already said he would. Amen. You can try him. Amen. You know what? He won't fail. Amen. He will not fail. Praise God. And so by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. How did you do that? He did it in his heart. It was as good as done. His mind was made up. Amen. Written across his heart was no retreat, no return. This is it. All the way. Sold out. Amen. So he said that he offered up his son, and he that had received the promises offered his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Because in his heart it was done, Brother Hart. He'd done what God said to do. Amen. Praise God. You remember the story. how they got to the top of the mountain. And what did Abraham do? He built an altar. He's getting good at it by now. And he built an altar. Amen. And he stacked up those stones. Amen. And he laid the fire. And he laid the wood. And he had everything ready. And then he turns around and Isaac said, "Papa, we've got the wood and we've got the fire." Amen. Did you notice he took the fire with him? Yes, sir. Yes. Amen. If you've got an altar of conversion and you've got an altar of prayer and you've got an altar of worship, you'll have some fire with you. I said, you'll have some fire with you. You'll have some fire with you. You don't worry about, "Well, you know, I don't know how things are going to be tonight." Well, bring some fire with you. Amen. Praise God. You come to church with some fire already going. You get into that prayer room, you got some fire already going. When the first notes hit on the piano, you already got some fire going. When the first song starts, you've already got some fire going. Because you got an altar in your life. Amen. So he already had his fire and he had the wood. And Isaac said, "Where's the sacrifice?" Oh, he said something. I'm not sure he understood all the significance. He said, "God will provide himself." And that's exactly what he did. In the fullness of time, God provided himself. God, who is spirit, came and took upon himself a human form. Amen. God, that is eternal spirit without blood, came and took upon himself a fleshly form with blood so that he himself could become the sacrifice that could wash away our sins. Amen. And save us from our sins. Amen. God provided himself a sacrifice. Amen. When Abraham lifted the knife and it flashed in the sun, suddenly there came a sound. Amen. And the bleeding of the ram. Hallelujah. And he found that God had provided another sacrifice. Praise God. He offered that sacrifice to the Lord. And you talk about some singing and some shouting.
You know that's right.
Amen. Probably a few tears involved. Hallelujah. Amen. An altar of consecration. Well, Brother Grissom, when do I have to stop giving? When you gave it all. Amen. When your hands are wide open. Now, God's not going to take everything you've got. But he just want to make sure your hands are open. You know, Brother Holly used to have a neat saying. He said, "God knows who to give the donkeys to." Well, what in the world does that mean? Jesus told his disciples. He said, when it was time for the Last Supper, he said, "Now you go to Jerusalem and you'll go down and you'll see this guy's house and he's got a donkey there." And he said, "And you go up and you just get that donkey." And they said, "Well, what if he catches us and asks us what's going on?" He said, "You just tell him that the Lord has need of him." See, God knows who to give the donkeys to. There are some folks wouldn't give a donkey for nothing. And there's others say, "Oh, the Lord needs him." Well, take him then. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Some folks are all worried, but what if he don't bring him back? What if he gets wounded on the journey? What this? What that? What if he spends it on bubble gum? What if the preacher don't do with my money what I think he ought to be doing with it? What if he buys a new suit? What if he buys a new car? What's it to you? Amen. This is the only profession I know in the world where people gripe about what somebody else buys. And yet, you want your pastor to live in a nice place because he represents you. And you want him to have a nice car so he can get to wherever you are if you need him. And you want it to look good. And you want him to dress good because he represents the church.
Amen. But don't give him too much. Don't spend too much, preacher. Isn't that a weird setup? Amen. Praise God. Well, anyhow, God knows who to give the donkeys to. You got any donkeys? Amen. Have you got something? Is there anything that you wouldn't give to the Lord? Is there any reserve in your life? Amen. You need to build an altar of consecration where everything is offered. It's all yours, Lord. You gave everything for me. You gave to me without any reservation. I'm going to give in return without reservation. Anything I have, anything I am, anything I'll ever be, it's yours. It's all yours. Amen. And to God be the glory. You need an altar of consecration in your life. Amen. Praise God. There was a great scientist by the name of Steinmetz. And the people that were sponsoring him never gave him a salary. Instead, they would give him a stack of checks that were all signed. And said, here you go, bud, you write the check. Whatever you need, just write the check. Amen. God loves us enough that he says, I love you enough, you write the check. Amen. However much mercy you need, you write the check. However much grace you need, you write the check. Amen. The Bible said that our God, Paul said it this way, didn't he? He said, but my God. Everybody say, my God. My God. You see, it's got to be personal. It's got to be personal. It can't be my mother's God. It can't be my father's God. It can't be my grandma's God. It has to be, but my God. But my God shall. But my God shall. Amen. He said, but my God shall supply. And here's a little word. All. That's a big word, isn't it? All my, what's that other word? Needs. Mm-hmm. Now there's another word. We don't really like that one though. Because nobody wants to be needy. We like it when God does miracles, but nobody wants to have a problem. You know what problems are? They're the raw materials that God uses to make miracles from. You can't have a healing unless somebody has a sickness. You can't have a resurrection unless somebody dies. You can't have a financial miracle unless somebody has a financial need. Wouldn't it be good if we could learn to look at needs like that? God, I got a need in my life. Woo, hallelujah. I said I got a need in my life and a miracle's on the way. Boy, would that change the way we look. You talk about praise looking comely. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. But God promised that he was going to take care of all of our needs. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time. We need an altar of conversion in our lives. We need an altar of communion and prayer in our lives. We need an altar of covenant and praise in our lives. And we need an altar of consecration in our lives. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I don't ever want anything in my life that would separate me from God. I don't ever want anything that'll make me so, I'll fall so in love with that I'll put it before Him. Amen.